Hi, this is Jeremy Gardner, writer, director, and bearded monster of The Battery, and you're listening to the Who Goes There podcast.
Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel
Ready?
I could tell you if it was heads or tails.
That doesn't sound very encouraging. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 25.
Yay, fanfare.
Boop, 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 boop. Well, not only 25, but we are officially at a year of recording this stupid podcast.
Stupid? This is an award-winning podcast. Is it?
Award-winning?
No.
No, it's not award-winning. Maybe in our minds.
Yeah, beer drinking.
Yeah.
Podcast is good enough for now.
Well, anywho, sitting across from me is my cohort, as always, Matt Smith.
Or Dr. Zoidberg this weekend.
Yeah, you got burned real good.
I did.
And
beautiful California sun, man.
Broadcasting out of beautiful Temecula, we have Chris Franco for the second time in a row.
Woo! Hey, all right, how's it going?
A lot less facial hair this time, though.
Yeah, I had to trim it back for the summer.
Yeah, he told us that the other day.
I know, it's still, like, disturbing to me, though.
Well, you do it to me, and it's frightening.
It frightens me, too. How do you think my wife feels waking up next to that? Every morning.
She likes it, though. She likes it when you shave.
She likes it until I shave. And then she likes it for a day, and then she realizes how creepy I look and tells me to put my beard back on.
Kind of how my wife did the same thing. She, you know, every time I shave, she comes up and she, oh, it's so smooth. And then like a day later, she's like, all right, that's enough. Stop shaving.
You're lucky, though, because you stop shaving for a day, and then you have a full beard again.
That's true.
It takes me like 3 months to get it this long.
I don't have that problem.
Yeah, you don't.
I shaved this morning and it's already, I'm going to have to go at it again.
Oh, well, pin a rose on your nose, buddy.
Don't be jealous.
I am a little bit.
We'll get to it in a little bit, but we all watched Under the Skin for this episode, so.
Yeah.
We sure did.
So we'll get to that.
Watched it in pieces anyways.
Yeah, anyway. You were talking a little bit earlier about the Tall Man murders.
Yeah, I can't remember where it was, but somewhere back in the Midwest, I think these two 13-year-old girls decided to stab one of their friends so they can go live with the tall. For those of you that don't know what the tall man is, there was a game that came out. What came out first, the game or the meme?
The myth of Slender Man has been around, I think, for 3 or 4 years now.
Right.
But definitely the meme slash myth was around first.
Well,
yeah, I think it originated on, what is it called, Spooky Pasta?
Creepypasta, yeah.
Or Creepypasta, sorry, there you go.
Yeah, it's basically this incredibly tall, lanky guy in a suit with no facial features whatsoever. And the story, I guess, is you have to murder to prove your worth, and then you get to go live in his mansion. And so these two girls in bumfuck Idaho decided to stab the shit out of their friend like 20-something times so they can go live with Tall Man or Slender Man.
Slender Man.
I'm thinking of the new Phantasm.
Well, but I think in the game they just call him Slender, and
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, the game's called Slender, yeah.
Yeah.
But that game was fucking terrifying too, man.
Did you play it?
I played a lot of it, yeah. And like it's even more terrifying than Outlast because, you know, it's a first person, all you have is the light from your flashlight. But it's in a forest, so everything looks exactly the same. You have no idea if you're going the right way, and then all of a sudden he's behind you out of nowhere. You turn around and the screen gets all staticky and you just see a dude, and you have to turn off your flashlight and run blindly through a forest.
So it's like VHS?
No, it was actually good and scary.
No. Hey.
Just kidding.
But, yeah, and then there was another one that happened, but I was just so disinterested by that point, I didn't bother even looking at it. But, I mean...
Wait, there was more than one set of murders?
There was at least two.
Jesus.
At least two. I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the second one. Yes.
Oh, I only heard about the one.
There was a second one like 2 weeks later from what I heard.
Oh, no shit. That recent. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay.
And I was, by that point, like it had turned into this big thing. It's like, oh, well, who's to blame? You know, the internet or the parents? Like, obviously the fucking parents are to blame because your kid's a psychopath and you're not watching over your kid. If they're going to do something like that, a game or an online story is not going to help.
Well, it's the age old thing about video games creating violence and whatnot. It's a bunch of nonsense.
I am actually kind of like when the story I read on, and I think it was the Rolling Stone, they they were very conscious to kind of stay away from that whole media breed psychopaths or anything like that. It was very much focused on the fact that it was either very directly the parents' fault for not kind of monitoring their children and looking what they were watching or what they were doing, or that the kids themselves just really had that psychopath gene. And, you know, because it was premeditated. They actually tried, and they didn't just take her out to the field and stab her. They had her over for a slumber party, and they were supposed to do it then.
Jesus.
And the one girl chickened out, and so then they waited for another day, and then they took her out to the woods. And I think each one of them, I don't want to say because I don't want to put any facts out there that I'm not 100% sure about, but they stabbed her, I don't know how many times.
19 times.
Oh, my God. Man. Yeah.
Two 12-year-old girls from Waukesha, Wisconsin. That's absolutely. And the victim was 12 years old, too. And somehow she survived. Got stabbed 19 times and survived.
Wow.
So
that was the crazy part, was that she actually lived. It was...
Huh. You
know, this is kind of weird, like looking at how dark it is in
here. I know. Well, dude, we're gonna.
It's spooky. It's very paranormal activity in here right now.
I'm keeping a very close eye on both your hands.
My hands are clearly under the table.
Well,
if I see any shenanigans, you guys are gonna see my light go dim and just see the lit tip of a cigarette.
Just watching.
You gotta put $1 into the slot for 3 minutes.
Yeah, buddy. Please.
And then you'll just hear, no, do it slow. Do it sexy.
What's the word that she
became the most interesting man in the world?
Dusimo? Do it.
No, that was True Lies.
That was True Lies, man. The Jamie Lee Curtis scene?
That has yet.
No.
You haven't seen True Lies?
Why would I see True Lies?
You're fucking ridiculous, dude.
He's got a little dick. It's pathetic.
Why would I see True Lies? I've seen plenty of like great Arnold movies.
Why would True Lies?
Yeah, you're nuts.
Okay. I've seen the clip of like the bridge exploding with the helicopter or something. That was on some
cool moment show. Of silence for Matt's childhood.
Yeah, I'll drink to that.
Whatever. So
first it was Slither, and now it's True Lies.
Hey, there's a difference. I tried to watch Slither, okay?
I don't know who you are anymore now.
You guys, I'm not very interested because whatever, but you guys were talking about the Big Trouble Little China comic books that came out?
Yeah.
That's it? That's it. Yes?
I was letting Matt kind of...
I haven't got them yet. I know I'm a horrible.
You're slacking,
dude. I never go to a comic book store for anything, and I honestly don't even know where one is.
I'm a pretty big nerd, so I was actually there on the day it came out. I made sure I called a wound. Sorry, that alcohol is taking effect on my tongue. I called around about 4 stores until I finally found one. I made sure to rush over right after work and pick it up. Because not only am I a Big Trouble Little China fan, but it's actually the really cool thing about this is it's co-written by John Carpenter and Eric Powell. And Eric Powell, obviously, of anybody who knows of the Goon fame.
What is the Goon?
Yeah, you've got us. You've got us on that one.
So the Goon is it's a comic that I don't remember when it came out, but it was quite a few years ago. It's well within its run. It was created by Eric Powell, and it's kind of like if, it's like a 20s old timey kind of mobster comic slash horror. It's like if H.P. Lovecraft took over like The Outsiders, not The Outsiders. That's too, it's too recent.
Today, Junior.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to think of it right now. I wasn't 100% prepared, but yeah, it's like Rebel Without a Cause or something like that. You know, meets like H.P. Lovecraft. That's probably not even the greatest thing, but it's fantastic. Anybody who's a fan of horror, you should really pick it up. It's great and beautiful, beautiful art. And I got to say that the first issue, it picks up exactly where the movie left off with Lopan's demon spawn in the back of... go ahead.
So it's a sequel.
Correct.
Is it any good so far? Like, you've read the first one. Is it anything worth reading?
I absolutely think it is.
Am I going to hate it?
No, I don't think so. You got to read it kind of in the right context, though, because you have, you know, there's always that that weird translation between movies to comics, because there's obviously a lot more they can do in comics, and it's maybe a little bit more slight. I mean, anybody who's familiar with Eric Powell and the Goon, you'll definitely see traces of that in there, where it's a little slapsticky at times. But if you can read the word bubbles of Jack Burton as Kurt Russell, I mean, you're going to love this comic.
I think that's the problem. Matt Smith can't read.
Oh, there's also the
my inner monologue is actually Kurt Russell, but I do have a problem with reading.
I hate to see your porno then.
Yeah, they took my shoelaces and told me I couldn't read good in high school. So
yeah, Jack, just go ahead and lean back, man. I'm gonna unzipper your pants and maybe pull them off.
Don't ruin that for me, Franco.
We're gonna have a real good time on your old Pork Chop Express.
And if I don't come by morning, call the president.
Call the president.
So speaking of
that light coming out of its mouth.
Jeez.
I had to get that last one in there.
Nice. Speaking of reading and book learning. I've been keeping an eye on The Strain. First off, the book series, and now is becoming it's a mini series, right?
I thought it was an actual show.
Well, it's a show. I mean, is it a show?
Franco.
I think. Go ahead.
Is it a show or is it a miniseries?
You know, I think George is right. I think it's a miniseries. I'm going to actually look it up here really quick. Because I'm actually not 100% sure. I've only been able to kind of catch little pieces of it here and there. But
well,
it says television series. It doesn't say miniseries.
Well, that's fine. I mean, if you haven't read or know anything about The Strain, it's essentially it's a trilogy, if I'm not mistaken. I think I read three books. I don't know. True. Yeah, it's essentially the story of Dracula's origin, if you will. Like, he comes to America in his fucking coffin, whatever. But proceeds to fuck shit up in the States. And it's pretty... The first, like, 50 pages of that book is just incredible.
But the thing is, from the trailers, it doesn't look like it's going to be vampire at all. It looks like it's going to be like a zombie kind of infection outbreak.
It's like a virus. It's like a virus, or more like a parasite.
There you go.
It's a parasite that creates vampirism.
Okay.
And
I mean, does it give you the superhuman strength?
Yeah, and it's different. Like it's different than what a traditional vampire is. It's more like, did you see?
It's kind of like Blade 2.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. It's like Blade 2,
which makes sense because they're both good. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's totally fine. Yeah, no, it's they're like you were probably gonna say they're both Guillermo del Toro joints, and so it sort of changes their anatomy. Like they get this fucking like little spitter spiky thing out of their mouth. Nice. And it's pretty cool. Like it's a really cool concept as far as the novels go. And from what it looks like, the trailers look like they're actually going pretty close to the source.
Right on.
Yeah.
Speaking of things coming out of your mouth, have you seen all the new alien toys that are coming out?
Mm-mm.
Dude, they have like an egg lair. You know, they're like the old... You remember like the old, were they like Hot Wheels or Micro Machines where it would look like it was a carrying case and it would look like a tire and then you open it up and there's like a whole track.
Oh, yeah.
Or you know, like even Star Wars had the ones where you open them up and then all
look
of a sudden.
Look like Darth Vader.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, now it looks like one of the giant egg sacs from Alien and it opens up and there's like a little play thing inside of like the inside of the ship. And they did all those, what are the names of those Funko toys? The retro ones. I forget what they're called.
Mezco or?
No. The Funko ones.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
They're I can't remember the fucking name right now. But they're like throwbacks to like the old school toys that look like G.I. Joes. And they have an entire set of the aliens coming out. And there's like a shit. Is it like their 30th anniversary or something? Or 35th anniversary for Alien?
Of Aliens?
Yeah, or Alien.
I think so. I
either way, there's a ton of like super rad alien toys coming out, and with Comic-Con coming up, dude, there's going to be a ton of awesome limited edition.
Oh, I'm going to spend
shit.
Too much money at Comic-Con.
I'm going to have to give you a bunch of money.
Looks like Chris is working overtime.
Oh yeah, I've already started. So why don't we just start in on this thing we watched?
Wait, do you guys want to roll over the fact that you guys have it's been a year? You don't want to talk about anything? Or?
Well, you know, like
we're gonna be modest about it.
Well, I don't know if there's any. I don't know if there's anything to be modest about.
Yeah, but we are fucking awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we hit 25 episodes and a year, just almost exactly to the day. I think we're pretty darn close. I wanted to do some sort of, like, I don't know, tribute to our year, but I figured that was kind of not our style.
Not at all.
So I just wanted to, I don't know, I kind of wanted to talk about my personal favorites that we hit throughout the year.
By all means.
And I think, and it's really, I'm going to go ahead and say.
He looks like he's blushing a
little
bit.
I am blushing
already.
A little bit. No, no.
Aww.
You know, I think in order of favorite to favorite, I'm going to go with The Battery, obviously. I think my favorite.
Favorite movie or favorite episode?
Favorite movie we watched.
That we've watched?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna stick with The Battery. I think that did a lot for my brain.
See, it depends. If I can pick The Thing,
you can't.
Why can't I pick The Thing?
The Thing 2?
The prequel? The Thing.
But we didn't actually do an episode on The Thing.
Really? Because episode 10 was both things.
But I don't know. Okay.
Both things at the same time.
All right. Okay. Well, then what new movie?
Okay. If I couldn't do The Thing, God, I don't want to just fucking kiss ass and say The Battery, but that really was like the best, like, independent or just newer film that we've done from start to finish. That was the best one.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, it's a tie between The Battery for me and also Safe Haven.
From VHS, that's part of a bigger.
Well, I mean, it's a short film. I just because it's short, I don't want to say that it's.
Yeah. Safe Haven was great.
Did you watch Safe Haven, Franco?
I did not.
I would do it.
Yeah. Wait, you haven't seen VHS 2?
No, I did not see VHS 2. Oh. I don't know if I want to get into it, but there's been a lot of horror movies that have kind of come out lately that don't necessarily fall in line with the stuff that I normally watch.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm assuming the film we did this time was one of them, but
I think if anything, and this is, I mean, it's probably just a little bit too much information, but normally the stuff I kind of like, I mean, I grew up a monster kid, so I love creature feature kind of movies. So actually, when you guys told me these last two movies that we're going to be doing, I was actually really excited about them.
We'll get to it. No, I just, you know, we hit a year, and I've said it before, and I know Matt feels the same way, that we really, I mean, it's a labor of love for us. Like, we put a lot of hard work into this stupid fucking show.
When I at least myself didn't think it was even going to go this long. I really didn't.
What she said.
That's good then.
Yeah.
That means she was expecting to be disappointed. She was pleasantly surprised.
And I've had a great time doing it. I've really enjoyed everybody we've had on, as far as guests and, you know, other people we've had in studio, your wife included. You know, my cousins have always been fun. My wife on one episode so far.
That's all she could take.
Yeah, it's all she could stand. And you know. For as little as he was on the show, Mikey, you know, I actually miss Mikey being on the show. And yeah. But I think
there's even something to be said for Carlos. Come on.
Oh, warm babies.
But yeah, this kind of just started as George and I were talking about horror movies a lot. And we obviously, like everyone, think they're funny. And or we think we're funny.
I think I'm hilarious.
Yeah, so. I think I'm hilarious. George, he's all right. And so we were like, why not record it? And then even if nobody listens to it, at least we'll have an excuse to drink beer.
Well, what's funny is this podcast was spawned from, initially I wanted to do a sci-fi podcast. Talk about, like, you know, more in depth with books and whatnot. And the guy who I was going to do it with kind of petered out a little bit on me. And understandably, he's got his own, you know, shit going on. I can't expect somebody to do this if they're not, like, fully into it. But, you know, I was talking to Matt and we were just like, fuck it. Let's do a horror podcast. And here we go.
And here we are. And Franco got abducted by the ghost.
He's gone.
I was requesting more booze from my wife.
You didn't have a bell? You just need to have a little bell next time. So anytime
she shoved that right up my ass the first time I used it.
Anytime we hear the bell, it's either an angel getting its wings or Franco getting a beer.
Yeah. And speaking of, you know, special guests we've had, we've only had Franco on for one and now a 16th of an episode. And so far, I'm having a great time with you, dude.
Hey, I'm having a great time. Thanks for having me. I probably just make you guys sound funnier, so.
That's probably true.
That is very true.
Make us look better, at least.
You know what they say? What is it? A high tide raises all ships. We're all funny.
There you go.
So
this is the highest ship of them all.
Well, at least half of the ship.
Are my eyes that red?
So 2/3 then.
Oh, dude.
Just kidding.
Speaking of being incredibly high, how was your 4th of July, Franco?
It was pretty good. Actually, we kind of just bounced around here a little bit, and then on Saturday I drank a whole mason jar of moonshine that my buddy Gary sent me from Arkansas.
Oh yeah,
That whole greased owl shit thing.
What's that? I'm sorry.
You drank that whole jar of greased owl shit.
Yeah, I mean, I had help. I didn't drink it all by myself, but I drank a good majority of it.
I was going to say, you have a serious fucking problem if you drink that entire jar.
I do love my whiskey.
Was that was moonshine whiskey or?
Yeah, it's moonshine whiskey. It's actually, I'll just plug it. If anyone is a fan of moonshine, my buddy Gary Taylor makes it down and out in Arkansas, and it's called White River Distillery. The one that we were drinking was called the Friday Night Red Eye. But he has a few other ones. He's got a apple pie one and a cherry one, and they're fucking delicious. So you should check them out.
You know, don't be too afraid to send us some of those down our way.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, you hear that, Gary? You owe us $50 for advertising.
Actually, well, I'm going to be probably building a website here for him soon, so I might be getting paid in product. So if I do, then I'll...
website beauties.
Well, then we'll be getting drunk on moonshine on a future episode, I hope.
And then those episodes won't come out because we'll be too drunk.
One of these days when Chris decides to grace us with his presence down here.
When he doesn't just Skype in.
Well, unfortunately on the weekdays, it's too hard for me to get down there this late.
Yeah, it's all good, man. All right.
Time to get to the shit.
Enough of year bullshit. Okay. So we watched the new hottest... ScarJo.
At least new. No, new's not even an accurate word. This is a 2013 movie.
Yeah, but I think it's just been lately garnering a lot of attention. It's gotten wide release to VOD and whatnot. It's the Scarlett Johansson sci-fi thriller horror.
I love how the enthusiasm in your voice just completely dropped when you said thriller.
Well, see, here's
Scarlett
Johansson
thriller.
Okay, here's...
the Scarlett Johansson thriller.
Okay, here's... Well, let's get to the title. It's Under the Skin, directed by whom?
Jonathan Glazer.
Glazer.
And the stupid... I can't even understand how this movie has been in the works for over 10... Or actually, like, 13 years. And the dude was... Jonathan Glazer was going to make it right after... I forgot what he made. I can't even fucking... Whatever.
Did you say 13 years?
13 years, yeah. It was in the making because there was a book originally. And then they decided it would be a good idea to turn that book into a movie. And Jonathan Glazer... kept putting it off because he was going to direct these other movies that I've never heard of. And finally he got around to this one. And when this movie was initially pitched, it was a couple, like an alien couple that was meant to blend in among the people. And Brad Pitt was on to star as the husband. But then apparently Brad Pitt came to his senses and went on to do other
World
things
War Z.
Like Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
But
okay. So, right off the bat, I'm not going to apologize for this movie because I sort of picked this movie. Okay. I'm sorry, guys. I really fucking like this movie.
Like, I read these reviews and I'm like, these people are clearly fucking so stupid with their heads so far up their ass. How do you like this? You know what? I got to see, quote, Scarlett Johansson naked for a good part of this movie, and I was still incredibly disappointed.
Well, yeah. I want to say that I think calling this movie a horror movie was probably incorrect.
Sci-fi,
and
I can see.
And I apologize to you guys for, you know, maybe purporting for it to be a horror movie. But
you, and you were still defending this after you had watched it and we hadn't. You're like, no, I think it'll be good. I think it'll be good.
Well, no, what I said was I think it'll be good for conversation.
Because there's none in the movie.
Yeah.
Hey,
we've already expressed more dialogue in like 25 minutes than they did in 100.
Yeah,
minutes.
But you talk a lot.
Actually, when you said that this was a book, I was like, was it 5 pages? I'm gonna have to straddle the line of both of you guys because damn you, George. Because I feel like I have the same thing to almost say about this movie as I did about the last one. There were parts in this movie that I thought were fucking awesome. And then there was really just a lot of Scarlett Johansson driving around in a van.
You know, and most, like, what I found out after I watched it was that most of the film was actually basically undercover shot. You know, it was hidden cameras.
Yeah, a lot of the guys that she met on the streets, they weren't actors.
Yeah, it was like random conversations.
Which would have been a lot cooler if it wasn't just her leaning out the window talking to him. Because obviously the guys that she, and I don't want to get too much into it. And also, just really quick, because this is a little quote-unquote new, are we spoiling this?
Yeah. Anybody who listens to the show, if you don't want to get spoiled, get the fuck out.
So quick synopsis. The movie starts with an alien getting a hold of Scarlett Johansson's body, taking her form, luring men in, kidnapping her.
I think you're jumping way too far ahead of this.
That's the very beginning, like the opening scene. That dude takes her out of the ditch, and she takes on Scarlett Johansson's form.
Yeah, the dude in the motorcycle goes down into that like dark quarry or whatever, and then he comes back up with her slung over her shoulder and throws her in the van.
Yeah. Okay. So having watched the movie, you know that, but from the get go,
really, because I had no idea what the fuck was going on the entire movie.
Like, I mean, that's pretty fair.
Yeah, because I mean, like, you start off and this guy walks down an embankment and comes up like 5 seconds later with a girl slung over his shoulder, and suddenly naked Scarlett Johansson is taking the clothes off of clothed Scarlett Johansson, and then naked Scarlett Johansson then puts on the clothes she just took off from clothed Scarlett Johansson. Starting off, no fucking clue what's going on. And then it only continued.
And I think, for me personally, I think that lends itself to me to be a more interesting intro to the film as opposed to, you know, us seeing a goddamn space shuttle, flying saucer come down.
I don't need to
down.
Be explained what's going on the entire time, but like Chris was saying, with how little dialogue there was throughout this entire movie, I mean, this movie had like no, I don't want to, yeah, basically no backbone. I mean, even so, to it, during the credits, the characters weren't even named. It was just the actors. Nobody had a fucking name because nobody mattered.
Well, and I did kind of playfully bitch about there not being any dialogue in the movie, but I definitely do think that there are points in the movie where that was a very strong point. I think that there was some really creepy stuff done, in between those intervals of speaking that were really effective. I think it was really well done. It gave, like, there was a lot of atmosphere that was really cool, but it was 1 hour and 48 minutes. I fucking know because I had my eye on it the whole time because I barely made it to this podcast while I was watching it.
I fell asleep halfway. Oh, I thought you were going to say I barely made it through the movie. Yeah, I fell asleep halfway through.
I made it, but there's definitely points. I'm not going to lie. Whenever I saw her in the van, I just moved that little scroll bar a little along because I'm like, well, she's just going to sit in a van. And if you cut out, like 20 minutes of that could have been cut out. Really, the first time, sorry, I don't mean to hijack the podcast here, but like the first time that she starts stalking that guy,
Please hold while we fix our technical difficulties.
Oh no! Actually, it was I think the last thing I was saying was that the very first guy that she goes after, nameless guy number one. Well, I mean, there's a bunch of guys she goes up to. These are the guys we were talking about who are obviously not actors. She was just kind of pulling up next to guys in the street and talking to them and chatting them up and just establishing that she's kind of on the prowl, that she's on the hunt. And the one guy, the first guy she takes home, all it takes is that. Like, give us that first few minutes of, like, exposition or whatever. Give us the first guy. And then after that, I mean, move on. Like, there was so much where there was...
They repeated the same thing, like, three or four times.
Right. And there was getting to a point where I was like, there's no reason this movie needs to be 1 hour and 48 minutes long. It really could have been a solid, probably hour and 20, and been a really good, you know, neat little package and been pretty awesome. But there was just a lot of points where I would literally sit there and watch it, and then since there's no talking, I just pick up the guitar and start playing, or...
See, here's the thing. My brain likes that kind of thing where, you know, one of my favorite movies is There Will Be Blood and also No Country for Old Men, where you have...
Did a really good job of moving along the plot, though.
Exactly.
Well,
no idea what the fucking plot was.
But what I enjoyed was that it wasn't fucking baby birding you the plot. Like it was sort of allowing you to in the space of the silence in the movie and in these long drawn out shots to sort of begin to form your own opinions about what's going on, because I know a third of the way through my wife and I were watching it and I was like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. But I enjoyed that. Like, I enjoyed feeling really fucking lost and really flummoxed about what was going on in the plot, because, you know, there's points where, you know, you're trying to figure out, like, what's going on with the motorcycle guy and what's going on with, you know, why is she targeting specific guys, blah, 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 blah. And we haven't even gotten into the gorgeous, the filming. No, I'm talking about the shots where she gets the guys back to the house.
Oh, in that all black room.
Yeah, man. Like, I couldn't express how uneasy, but like also how great those fucking shots made me feel. Like, I was like, I don't know, man. I felt from that first one when you see sort of like, you know, she basically seduces some random fucking guy on the streets, brings him back to her house or this, you know, ramshackle shack that she's like, got.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't even know what it was basically, but
it's like her nest.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is they never explain what it is. They never explain what she's doing. They never explain who the motorcycle is.
But that I like. That actually, I'm sorry, George, I don't mean to.
No, it's fine, man.
To cut you off. But the fact that they never fully explain what it is, I have absolutely no problem.
It's not.
With that.
It's
I love,
not even that they didn't fully explain it. They didn't even partially explain it. Like, there was just fucking indication of what was going on. Like, that motorcycle guy, zero indication of who he was or why he mattered.
I think a little. I mean, to a degree, because I mean, obviously, it does. It does. It pretty much sets it that he's going around, he's cleaning up after her. From the guy she takes. You know, that guy who is camping out on the beach. He goes and he, you know, cleans out all that. Excuse me, stuff from his tent. Also leaves that fucking baby on
the
beach.
Dude, which holy shit, man! When
okay, so that one was the scene, the actual scene that I liked, but that baby belonged to.
The couple.
The couple.
Yeah, and they just left...
Oh, for sure.
They just left the baby on the beach to probably die.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the way it set it up. And these are the things that, like, where it doesn't 100%... It doesn't, you know, hand-feed it to you, where, like, that woman was chasing out after a dog. The guy goes out after her. Both those dumbasses don't take off their clothes before they jump in the water, so obviously they're going to... So the camper goes out to save him, actually saves the guy, but the guy goes back out after his wife.
I laugh so hard.
My opinion is obviously they probably both drowned.
Of course.
Yeah,
later, Scarlett Johansson was listening to a radio, news radio in her car, and they were talking about that husband washed up on the beach.
Right, but...
But they also said the son was missing.
Right, so probably dead.
But... Don't you think they would have found the body? He was just sitting on the beach. I mean, tide came up way high and washed him
away.
Who knows?
I
like to think a bird swooped him.
And just scooped up the fucking baby.
Yeah, yeah, just
an albatross.
Exactly, yeah.
I think we should, vulture came I think we should kind of explain the room scenes a little bit more. Because Without going into, you know, each and every point of the detail and what happens, I mean, they show these really interesting little snippets of I guess what could be called. She's luring him into her lair, and
I mean, she picks some guys up on the street. She picks one guy up in a bar, and basically, like we said, the guys don't know that they're being filmed. So any guy, really, a girl comes up and is saying, "Hey, want to come back to my place?" You're probably going to say yes. So these guys go back to her house, and then once they get inside, it's just slick black everywhere. Absolute nothing. You don't see a door. And then she starts to disrobe, and they disrobe, and they follow her and, like, sink into something like tar.
Yeah, it's... Go ahead.
So, no, I was just going to say, well, two things, really. One, the guys she actually brings back to her place, and especially, and we can get into this a little bit more in a minute, but, like, especially the deformed guys she brings back, I'm pretty sure, in fact, I'm almost 100% sure, those guys are actors. Those guys were not people she just picked
up.
Not.
They were guys that she picked up. The deformed guy was, in fact, an actor. But the other guys, from what I read, they were initially picked up by her, and then... After they filmed the car scene, they were explained to that this was a movie and the extent that they would have to go through in order to be in the movie. And that's why all these dudes dropped trow and were in the movie.
I didn't know that. I thought I read somewhere like that most of them, I read an article and I thought it said most of them were just guys off the street, but that... it was interspliced with actors.
And that's very possible. I'm not 100% on.
The dog face guy was an actor for sure. Like, he actually broke.
Jesus Christ.
Dog face guy.
Dude, he looked like a sad basset hound to me. I'm sorry. Like, I didn't take any notes for this. So, like, and he didn't have a name. So it's not like I can call him Jeff or something. Like,
let's call him Jeff from now on. Yeah,
Jeff the dog face
guy. I quit the podcast, George. Let me know when you want to do that sci-fi one.
Yeah, we'll do the sci-fi one. I'm in.
But he was an actor, and he broke his leg on the way to the audition, and they actually interviewed him in the hospital and gave him the job in the hospital.
Oh.
Fun little tidbit.
So the thing about them actually going into the room, and then once they start to submerge underneath that, I'm just going to call it oil because I don't know what else to call it. I had a couple of kind of notes here about that stuff. One was, does she hypnotize them? Because when they start walking, I don't care who you are, and I don't care how bad you're going to chase after a woman. If you start sinking into a floor, you're going to notice some shit's up and maybe back up a bit.
And I agree with you, but here's where I'm going to sort of take a departure. I don't think that them sinking into the floor is a literal interpretation of what was happening. I think that's more of a it's more of a visual metaphor to kind of signify, you know, falling into a trap kind of deal.
So I'm the only one that would still keep trying to get a naked Scarlett Johansson even if I was sinking into the floor. I would keep going.
If I found your flaccid skin and your blood halfway through the unit. Yeah, if somebody told me, we found Matt, his skin was empty and he was in a pile of oil, I'd be like, was there Scarlett Johansson? Was she there? Boobs? Yeah, no, okay, that makes sense.
See, and that was the thing, man, was like, I think saying a big fan would be inappropriate because I really don't give a shit about her acting, but I'm a big fan of Scarlett Johansson. And like, like, I was watching this movie, and before I watched it, I told George, I'm like, does she take her top off? Like, just tell me so I know if I want to watch this or not. And he wouldn't tell me. And I'm still not even convinced that that was her.
It was definitely her.
It was definitely
for
her.
Real?
Yeah.
Like, because there was a lot of the times where you wouldn't see, like, her chest and her face in the same shot.
Which I honestly thought was kind of interesting to me because they somehow managed to desexualize a naked Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, which I have a huge fucking problem with that.
which is really funny because opposite for me, because I think that was a really cool, you know, they were able to remove all of the sexuality from a naked Scarlett Johansson, which is, I mean,
an incredibly difficult task to
pull that off. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Pull that off.
Like, yeah, I actually like that quite a bit too.
what is wrong with you guys? Like, that's something that I could have only dreamed about before, and now I get to see the actual thing, but it's like, I don't find this the least bit appealing whatsoever.
I think the thing is that they managed to do it in a non-sexual way, and it wasn't, like... No, I mean, well, and the whole movie... All right, and maybe this is just me, and I may, if not, then I'll go see a psychiatrist tomorrow, but did anyone else kind of get the idea that, let's take that oil metaphor thing just a little bit further, that the fact that nobody was struggling or anything, even as they were, succumbing to whatever it is that it was, if it was a metaphor or not, that nobody batted an eye, and they kept that gaze even as their face was going underneath the oil. Was that kind of a commentary on how men just think with their dicks, and they'll jump into situations that they think that they're gonna, you know, fucking get
some.
Yeah,
I 100% agree with you. I think that's what they were going for was, beyond the sort of the visual aspect of it. You know, we were sort of brought to a place where we're supposed to accept that things that are going on in the film are not exactly what we're seeing.
Right.
And I think you're right on point when you're talking about, for lack of a better word, you know, males thinking with their dicks 100% of the time, which was kind of a cool touch, because you're watching it and you're like, oh, these guys are fucked. Like, they can't, you know, they can't get out of their own way to rescue themselves.
Well, and if that's actually what they were going for, was saying that guys think with their dicks, they did a really good job of showing it with picking up random strangers on the side of the road, because being in a dark car in a wig with an accent, you're probably not going to know that's Scarlett Johansson sitting in the car offering you a ride.
Yeah.
And all these guys are just like, all right, well, there's a cute girl offering me a ride, you know, like. And they're totally willing to just get in a car with this girl. Yeah. You know?
Well, and this was, I mean, I think, and I'm going to kind of jump all over the place here just as far as symbolism goes. But I mean, this was a very, I'm going to go so far as to say feminist film, because there was,
go ahead.
So there, cause there was a whole thing about, men definitely thinking with their dicks, and, there was also, even the men, being entrapped in oil underneath, it was very kind of, reminded me of amniotic fluid from like a pregnancy, kind of like in the womb kind of thing.
Yep.
And then also, and I even wrote in capitals with an exclamation point, blood shoot. when that guy just collapses and his blood goes down that blood chute, which was really crazy.
And so here's,
kind of to me reminded me of like a menstruation, you know.
Well, check this out. So
I'm liking this movie less and less as this podcast goes on.
So my wife and I were watching the movie, and there's a scene where there's a guy who gets basically, you know, sucked under the oil. That's what we'll call it. And as he's drowning or being enveloped by the whatever the fuck,
because apparently you don't die right away.
Right. So he sees another guy that's down there in the oil with him, and his body starts to kind of swell and, you know, distort and whatnot. And it eventually snaps, like you hear like an audible rubber band snapping. And it's funny that you talk about amniotic fluid, Chris. We thought the same thing. We were like, oh, that's totally like a woman's water breaking. That's exactly what it seemed to us, was like, you know, right, a woman's water breaking, and then you have, you know, the gushing blood and blah 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 blah, you know, all those things that happen visually in that scene that were, you know, kind of symbolic of birth, new life kind of deal, of Scarlett Johansson's character trying to find her way through what's happening.
But
well, and also too, I'm sorry, Matt, I don't mean to cut you off, but and that's even taking it one step further too, because this whole movie, she's kind of probing and discovering her body, because she's not used to this human body. I mean, there's that scene where she's trying to have sex with that guy, and as soon as he tries to penetrate her,
fucking crazy. Like, yeah,
is she like a Barbie doll or something?
I'm sorry?
Is she like a Barbie doll or something? She has nothing there, or like...
He was trying to put it in her, and I don't think that she. I don't think that she could. Try not to be too.
You can just go.
I don't. Yeah, because I don't know how many women listeners you have. I'm trying not to.
She couldn't take it.
No, she couldn't. I don't think she could get wet. And I think that because she doesn't, I don't think she has all of, I think she has all the essentially the parts of a woman, but I don't think she has.
The parts are there, but the plumbing is off.
Like the like the physiological response to arousal.
Right.
Is kind of what you're saying. Listen to me.
Wait, so who wouldn't just spit on it? Because that would have been the first thing I would have done. Like, come on. I thought with our dicks here, and my dick clearly knows what to do.
I got more the feeling that it was a let the right one in kind of situation where she's just completely anatomically just fucked up.
I figured it was just kind of like a Barbie doll type deal.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, but then why would she look? Because then she would know that.
Well, but maybe she looked because she had no idea what he was poking at.
Well, because she looks and then she throws the lamp and she just kind of stands there. And then and actually that's where the scene cuts. So we actually don't know.
We don't know anything that happens in this fucking movie.
Well, here's the thing too. He pulls her panties off and he spreads her legs. He would see that there was nothing there if there was nothing there. And he would immediately not try to go in.
Well, unless it was the sort of thing where she had, like, pubic hair, which was, like, an outward sort of, like, what would be on the surface, you know, basically the skin.
Because he didn't go down there.
He did not.
Well, here's the other thing, too. If you look when she's checking herself out in the mirror, which I think was, like, a couple of scenes before that, if you look in the mirror when she's completely naked, standing there checking herself out, there's clearly labia. She actually has no pubic hair. She shaved. She had, and again, I wasn't looking because I'm a pervert. It's just what the so the
really because I'm a pervert and I totally didn't notice.
I know. I figured, trust me, if there was any detail.
At that specific point, I was trying very carefully to see if they ever showed tits and face in the same.
You were trying not to fall
shot.
Asleep, is basically what was going
no,
on.
No, I fell asleep long before that. I fell asleep after.
He was trying to rub one out before you.
No. I fell asleep when she was in the car after she had drowned that dude that looked like the guy from Oz.
Oh, you missed full labia shot, dude.
Dude, I watched the rest of the movie.
I'm joking.
I mean, I fell asleep halfway through.
They put a flashlight up her vagina. Dude, you fucking missed it.
Wait, so they got a flashlight up there, but that guy couldn't get his cock up there?
He couldn't, no.
Well, then...
It's a POV.
Then he should have been the one crying in the forest instead of her. I would have been crying, man. I would have been like, damn, I could have had Scarlett Johansson. No, I can't.
No, I can't, because she's an alien.
But they didn't tell it, like, okay, you find out, I guess, that she's an alien in the last, like, 30 seconds of the movie before she gets fucking set on fire. But, like, so what was the whole deal with the skin harvesting thing? Did, like, that make her stronger? Was she feeding the house?
They don't tell you anything, especially
with that scene with the blood getting sucked out. Like, it seems like they're harvesting stuff for something.
I think she's sent as more of a drone kind of deal.
Like a collector.
Like a collector, where she's not doing it for herself. She's doing it for, you know, the betterment of her species or whatever the fuck, however you want to say it. And I think that the motorcycle man is her handler, basically.
Yeah, for sure.
Supposed to be like watching her, following her. I mean, because I'm assuming he's helping her at first because he drags that girl out of the ditch, which eventually becomes the alien.
Yeah.
But, that scene where when the deformed guy, she lets him escape, when he goes and he walks up and just punches that car window out and opens the trunk and then goes and grabs that guy from the fence.
He was clearly on PCP.
Probably, yeah.
I'm just saying that
because there was no explanation. I'm like, where the fuck is this motorcycle guy going? Like, why is he in such a hurry? And then all of a sudden, you see a naked dog face boy climbing over a fence, and then he just puts the dog face boy in the trunk.
But those are the things about the movie where they don't fully explain them. That kind of let you make up your own mind about what's going on. That I really dug about the movie. Those are the parts that I didn't mind because you kind of make up the mythology on your
own. Yeah, and I think it was really interesting. I mean, because. The deformed guy or Jeff, I'm sorry, Jeff. We want to call him Jeff.
Jeff the dog face boy.
No, just Jeff.
Jeff the dog face boy.
He escapes. Well, he doesn't escape, but she lets him go. And, you know, I'm thinking, there's no way motorcycle dude knows where he is. And he knows fucking exactly where he
exactly,
is. In fact, where he was going to. So it's even more interesting to me. It's like where is the... Who's watching all of this? This is the crazy part to me. Is like, who's in charge? If it's not Motorcycle Guy,
and of course you don't find out,
ScarJo, then who's in charge of this whole business?
And why?
Yeah.
But you don't find out.
No.
But see, but is that important to you, though?
Yes, because there was nothing worth anything in this fucking movie. There was no plot development. There was no character development.
I disagree.
How can there be a plot when there's nothing to move along a fucking plot? Like, okay, she takes these guys and kills them for some reason. You never find out why. You never find out how. You never find out why she's there or anything. Like, she's there. Oh. She's harvesting dudes. She gets like, oh, look at me. I'm a person and I'm kind of fucking sad. And then she gets set on fire. That's the whole fucking thing.
The whole thing I got from it, and again, maybe I'm looking at it in a weird way, but it's a really weird sci-fi fucked up Cronenbergian like coming of age story. Mm-hmm. It kind of almost reminds me. It's like she's becoming a woman, because I mean, even going so far as like being confused about sex. Again, like the blood shoot. It's just almost like the, you know, like a first period or something like that. She's trolling these guys and she has no idea why, and they're all fucking assholes to her. And then the one guy who actually is nice to her and like takes her on a quote unquote date to like the castle. Like, she actually tries to sleep with this guy, and then he, you know, tries to penetrate her. Yeah, and then she's like, what the fuck? And the whole thing, and even, like, going so far as at the end, and again, if you've made it this far and it hasn't been spoiled, fucking spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. But at the end, when the guy tries to rape her, and it's almost just like, it destroys her. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, just that.
And that was pretty disturbing, man. Like,
it was, yeah.
I think, you know, we watch a lot of fucked up things when it comes to horror movies and whatnot, but for the most part, when we're watching, you know, rape scenes and people getting murdered, there's an amount of sort of tongue-in-cheekiness to them. Like, you know, you're not watching Evil Dead and actually feeling disturbed because there's a tree rape scene. You're kind of like, oh, it's a fucking tree rape scene, it's hilarious.
Or like, I spit on your grave, where she gets revenge.
Yeah, and I think this was a lot more. It was a lot more disarming and a lot more, you know, in your face about, you know, how somebody who doesn't know what's going on with their body getting raped. Like, that's crazy. It's nuts, man. And Matt Smith is over here rolling his fucking eyeballs about as hard as he can.
Oh, I can hear it.
Dude, there's subtext and blah blah metaphors, womp womp. Like, I don't want that shit. Like, you know.
It's not the type of thing where I'm like, oh, I understand the film and you don't fucking get it. I get that it, you know, this sort of slow burn kind of thing where they don't, you know, they don't explicitly tell you what's going on is not for everybody.
It's not
even to say that we're right.
Exactly. Yeah, we could be way the fuck off.
And it's not even so much that they don't tell you everything that's going on. I just felt that they didn't tell anything that was going on at all. I felt like it was a cinematic circle jerk, and that's all it was. You know, everybody talks about like, oh, how beautiful the direction was. Yeah, aside from the, you know, the hidden camera angles, the stuff that was actually filmed legit was really beautifully shot. And Scarlett Johansson, when she was acting, like, she did all right. Her accent was fucking kind awesome. Of laughable, but like, she still was good acting.
Speaking of accents, I was so far away from being able to understand anybody, dude. Like, that, what was a Scott? It was
apparently
a Scottish accent.
Scottish people all sound like they have Scottish a mouthful bro. Of
dude,
marbles.
Fucking, I'm sorry if anybody's listening who has Scottish in their blood or Scottish heritage, but get the fuck out. Holy shit.
At first I thought it was Irish and they were all drunk. I was like, why can't I understand
isn't that really
this?
What Scottish people are, though?
Drunk Irish people?
What, Irish or drunk Irish people?
No, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, I couldn't understand
shit. We're just kidding,
shit.
Irish
and, like,
people.
I didn't have...
And Scottish people.
My wife doesn't like to watch things with subtitles, but, you know, we didn't have the subtitles on. And we live right under a flight path where there's planes that are loud as shit flying over our house. So it's hard enough to hear anyways, but you literally could not make out more than two words in a sentence.
Actually, speaking of Alia, what did she think of it?
She was really into it for the first half before she fell asleep.
Oh shit.
We had a big day of sun and drinking yesterday though. So as you can tell by my Zoidberg-ness.
Yeah, you're like a goddamn lobster, dude.
Tell you.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, this movie isn't going to be for everybody. I think if you're into things that are a little bit more introspective and not necessarily, you know, in your face about plot, character development, whatnot, this isn't, you're not going to like it. And this isn't a film for Matt.
And it's, I would almost go so far as to say that, honestly, for everyone listening, and I hate to say this, I don't think it's really even a horror film.
It's not.
Yeah, I think if I had to do this whole thing again, I probably would have said we watch another movie.
The one thing that I would have maybe considered horror-ish was the beach scene. Just the way she clubbed that guy's head with the rock.
Yeah. Well, in the end,
that was way that was really man. Okay, that was and cool. In the end, I'll give it that. The last like 3 to 5 minutes or so before the incredibly long credits kicked in.
We've spoiled most of plot points.
I already
but we
said
can,
they set her on fire.
But we can leave. Even like that part, you can say that, but we can leave the rest of it alone because there's still so much in that particular scene that's kind of fucked up.
And that's
crazy
the only
watch.
Scene you really get anything yeah. worthwhile in, anyways.
one man's opinion.
You know, yeah, after 25 episodes, you know my emphatic love for breast assists and also
penis.
And for Scarlett Johansson, there was quite a few dongs in this too.
Oh, there's a lot.
That
of
elephant
dongs.
Man
so
had
many dongs.
A pretty big dong for an Asian guy. I'm just saying.
But actually, you know what? I'm sorry, I didn't write this down, but my immediately God, when I first saw him disrobe and start walking towards her, when I saw the length of that guy, I just went, good for them. I was like, you know, they're gonna make him deformed, but good for them.
They didn't make him deformed. He's actually a dog face boy.
Yeah, he's that deformity is actually the actor's deformity.
Yeah.
Oh, is that
they,
right?
They didn't want to. Oh, shit. They didn't want to go through and put somebody with prosthetics in, so they contacted. Was it Cures for Faces or something? I don't remember the name. Oh. I don't remember the name of the charity, but it was somebody who, or it was a charity that works with people with facial deformities, and they were looking for people, and he auditioned and got the part.
Yeah.
Well, then, to whatever malevolent being might be responsible for our existence, I say that's a cruel fucking joke.
Hey, they balanced him out. All right. The Lord giveth and taketh away.
I don't know if he feels the same way, dude.
Yeah, I also don't know if he's balanced. He's probably got back problems.
Oh,
dang! He just warm babied it.
But I would not recommend this movie.
Really?
I
would. You'd go so far as to say not recommend.
Not even just for the fact that there is a movie that has Scarlett Johansson naked through most of the movie. And
yeah, this is pretty
still,
much this is pretty much anti everything you're about,
except for naked Scarlett Johansson.
But even
that
was not good enough.
Like
for you.
I just couldn't.
Yeah.
I don't know how they managed to do that. I kind of resent them for doing that to me. If anybody ever does that to Daniel Harris, I will come and burn down your studio.
Well, Rob Zombie kind of already did.
Yeah, he showed titty, and that was awesome. That was awesome.
Yeah, but she was getting fucking thrown around. It wasn't sexy at all.
Really? Because
well, never mind. I don't. Never mind. I don't.
That was awesome. Know. I thought that was incredibly hot.
That it's was like, great.
Oh, you're running out your front door with your boobs flopping, and he pulls you in by your hair. That's kind of hot. No, whatever. Anyways, yeah, I just...
So big fat no recommend from Matt Smith.
Yeah, didn't think the plot went anywhere. They didn't explain shit. There was hardly any dialogue. I felt like it was an incredibly slow, boring movie. And even the parts I should have liked, I didn't like. I really liked the last 3 minutes, and I liked that scene on the beach. But other than that...
Wow, okay. Franco?
All thumbs down.
It was one of those movies, even kind of going into this podcast, I was expecting it as trash. The more we kind of talked about it and the more we went into it, and the more I kind of think back on it, I liked it more than I thought. I would recommend it. There's a small group of people.
It sounds like it's one of those douchey things you want to say, like, if you like good movies, like, yeah. You know, like, that's just an asshole thing to say.
Like Chris would say, everybody deep throated this movie, man. All these reviews were just like all across the board. They called it genre bending and
See, but even that, no, I see. I kind of agree with that. I don't know if I'm not going to sit there and like I'm not going to flate this movie. I'm not going to say that it was fantastic. I'll probably never watch this movie again.
And same here, man. I'll never see it again.
Yeah, it is long. It fucking takes forever to get into, and there. I mean, again, I stand by this. They could have trimmed at least 20 to 30 minutes off that movie. But I do think that, like, I agree with you. The I'm trying to use non-douchey words here. but the atmosphere of it is really fucking cool. And the metaphors are cool. Whether or not we got those right, it is one of those movies that kind of says, well, you fucking decide. And I kind of like that. Also, I have to throw it in here, and Matt, you're going to fucking hate this, but the fact that there was a movie, it was Scarlett Johansson's first nude film, and they put it right there on Front Street and said she's going to be full frontal nude in this movie, and everyone went going, fuck yeah, we're going to see Scarlett Johansson naked, and this is what they got?
Yeah.
Anybody who lifts that big of a middle finger to somebody, I have to tip my hat to. That's fucking rad.
Yeah,
you're going to get Scarlett Johansson full frontal nudity, and it's not sexy.
Yeah,
you're
not going to want to jack off to this one bit.
To be fair,
fucking try.
At least.
We fucking dare you.
Oh, wait, I already did. Was I not supposed to?
No, you definitely didn't.
Okay. To be fair, at least I got her leaked cell phone pictures years before this, so I already
What's funny is that those two still images were probably way more sexy than anything in this movie. They desexualized Scarlett Johansson almost to where it's not even her.
Was your goal, bravo.
I think that was the point, and I think they did it.
I think if that big of a fuck you, I mean, like, how many guys were probably just sitting there fast-forwarding, waiting with their dicks in their hands, just, like, waiting, Matt? And
well, because George wouldn't tell me. He was like, I'm not going to tell you anything. So it was like, okay, either there's absolutely no, like, modicum of nudity whatsoever, or there's a ton of it. And I was like, okay, she's never done anything nude before. So then when I see, like, at first I was really pissed because it was just her in the underwear all the time. I'm like, really? This is it? This is like the most expensive softcore porno that I've ever seen in my entire life.
It wasn't even – it was almost like there was parts where not in tone but like kind of what they did. And, well, actually even in tone, this movie, where like Debbie Harry took off her kit in Videodrome. You know, like
I was like, wait, Debbie Harry was in this movie?
No, Debbie Harry, yeah, in Videodrome. Like, you know, I remember getting excited because I was like, oh my god, we should see Debbie Harry naked. And then you watch the movie and you're like, that wasn't sexy at all, though. I mean, like, that, you know, that movie is fucked up. And it kind of like challenged you. It's like, fucking, you know, find this sexy, find this attractive. I dare you. And I think that it's actually, again, not to sound douchey, but in a genre that is kind of so very heavy-handed, male-dominated. It is very much a feminine movie. Everything about it is feminine, and everything about it is kind of, except for setting Scarlett Johansson on fire, pretty pro woman.
Yeah, and I think even that part, I'll even go so far as to say, is even that part was, you know, fairly feminist because it was a setting free of Scarlett Johansson at the end of the day. It came up kind of in a fucked up circumstances, like post attempted rape, but you know, it was able to let her go.
Are we going to have to adjust the levels on my eye rolling? Is that going
to be too loud? No. Well, the other cool thing, I don't know if it's a cool thing, but another thing I think the movie did was, especially towards the end, as she got a little bit more and more, you know, she started to feel for people. That's why she let Jeff. That's why she let him go. Was it Jeff or Jerry?
Jeff.
Jeff.
So when she let Jeff go, I mean, right there, it was like the big pinnacle. And that's why, you know, the guy on the motorcycle was so fucking pissed. And even when he goes and he, like, breaks the window and all that kind of stuff, he's like, why the fuck did she do this? And he's got to take care of it now. But she starts to actually feel for humanity. And, you know, towards the end, it actually ends up working against her. And it's another one of those whole things of, like, who's really the monster? Is it her or is it us? You know, is it humanity or is it, you know, what is it?
So let me ask you guys this. Do you think that the director is actually really pleased with this movie? Because here's what I was thinking on the way over here. If you're a musician, you can always say that you write music for yourself. You write music that you're happy with, that feels good, etc. And if people like it, that's a plus. And I was thinking if a filmmaker could say the same thing, because a filmmaker has to put a shitload of money behind something they do. So when you're a filmmaker, do you make something that you yourself are going to be happy with, or do you make something that you expect to be commercially successful? Because I'm assuming that this film was not intended to be commercially successful. Granted, it got rave reviews. I mean, I wouldn't say rave.
I don't think anybody's watching this movie, unfortunately.
Exactly, right? I mean, it did pretty poorly in the box office. Yeah. It got pretty good critical reviews, and most of the fan reviews are split down the middle, which apparently we seem to be. But do you think that the director...
If we could cut Chris Franco right in half, we would be. Yeah.
Like, well, he's kind of on the fence. Split, he liked it. He didn't like it.
If we split his intestines between the two of us, yes.
By the way, speaking of splitting intestines, I've been watching more Hannibal, and holy shit, it made me want to cook like lungs and kidneys and shit like that.
It's a good show.
Oh, the food on there looks amazing.
Which show is this?
Hannibal.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. He could cook for me any day. I don't give a shit.
Cook you or cook you?
As long as I got a chance to taste it before I went,
we'll just say have you for dinner.
Yeah.
If he
how to cook for 40 humans.
Yeah. If he does it like fucking Ray Liotta and Hannibal, then yeah, I'm good.
So, you know, if we're going to do a quick wrap up with me as well, if anybody gives a shit, which I doubt, but in no uncertain terms, I think that if you're a fan of, you know, slow burn movies that have, you know, sort of, there's a little bit of thought process that needs to be done in between the scenes that are important in this film, that if you're not into it, you're not going to like the film. I think that there's parts of it that are pretty brutal, and there's parts of it that are actually horrific. It's not a horror movie. I don't want to say that, but I would definitely check it out. It's a film that if you watch it and you can get through the end and think about it, you know, give yourself a bit of time to sort of digest it and whatnot. I think you'll have enjoyed it, and that's what I say about that.
So let me ask you guys this real quick. We're all married men, yeah. So. We're walking down the street at night to the grocery store. Van pulls up. Maybe not even Scarlett Johansson, but somebody that's equally attractive is just like asking for directions and offers a
ride.
Wait,
you're already... There's no equal to Scarlett Johansson. Sorry.
Okay, fair enough. So Scarlett Johansson pulls up.
Scarlett Johansson.
And she's in a wig. And she's offering you a ride. How likely are you to take that ride?
I don't know, man. I know a little bit too much about white vans with no windows.
But exactly. You know about white vans with no windows, but Scarlett Johansson's driving the van. So you know just enough about those white vans. I mean...
Yeah, that's a tough fucking call, dude.
Isn't it, though?
I think I love my kid too much to get in a van with Scarlett Johansson.
I'd take the ride.
If there was no child involved, we might have a conversation, but you know.
I'd take the ride, but I'm gonna say that's because I'm too lazy to walk the rest of the way.
Here's the other thing too. They also like the way she dressed herself, and that's actually why there was that scene where I'm assuming there were prostitutes or there was party girls, but they all came up and kind of took her into that club.
Really? Because I thought that was like a bachelorette party.
Maybe. Well,
I just figured it was a bunch of drunk girls. It's like, yay, another girl power. I mean, that's what I figured.
But the way they dressed her, it's like, I mean, I don't know about Scotland, but like here, if I saw that, the first thing I would think is probably you came from Elkhorn Boulevard. Probably going to want some money if I take this ride.
Probably going to go to the tubs.
Probably go into the tubs. And you probably got a man named Pepper Jack just hanging back a couple blocks.
Pepper
just
gonna Jack!
Come and stack. Dude, Pepper Jack is the best cheese, so he's probably a pretty cool dude.
He's probably pretty sweet, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to turn that ride down.
Oh, he's going to turn the ride down.
You're the only one, dude.
You're the only one, dude.
Ever.
No, I'm saying you're the only one.
Oh, I'm the only one?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we established in the beginning that if it was Matt in this movie, he's dead in the first 2 minutes.
I'm like, where do you want me to go? Can I bring my wife? She's into it.
You're like, this oil. Here, I'll just rub it all over me.
My wife wants to go to the oil, too.
this is a two-for-one deal here. Two-for-one.
We'll both pop in the oil. I don't care. Whatever.
Oh, yeah. So that was under the skin.
We're pretty well divided on this one.
Yeah, I wouldn't watch it again. And definitely.
Well, and I don't think I'm going to watch it again.
To be fair, we don't really watch most of the stuff... again, that we do on the show. I mean, the only thing that I've watched again after we've done the episode, because I watch a lot of them several times before the episode, I've watched The Battery, I've watched Jug Face, I watched Devil in My Ride.
After the fact?
Yeah, after. And of course I've watched The Thing.
Well, yeah, who hasn't?
And I've watched Boarding House.
You watched Boarding House again?
How can I not show that movie to people?
Who did you show it to?
Plenty of people.
No, you haven't. Shut your mouth. That's a bunch of bullshit.
Who have you shown it to? Myself.
I watched it with my dog.
I jacked off to the pool scene.
I made Monk look it up.
Phoebe Cates pool scene.
Yeah. So, well, next time we'll have an actual horror film.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I get a chance to be on this again, can we do a fun movie?
Well, that's up to George, because he likes to pick these kind of movies.
Well, my reasoning behind picking this movie in particular was it was sort of in the public eye, and I think that it was important for us to do something that was a little bit out of our comfort zone, because we do watch a lot of, you know, gore fest movies and things that are sort of in your face about what they're about. And I don't know, I thought this was something different that we could do that would have.
Sorry, guys.
No, I mean, like I said, you know, the experience of it, I wasn't, especially after the fact, I wasn't bummed out that I watched it. I just,
Because I was.
Did you watch it with your wife?
No, because I could only watch it in the office, and she was.
And Veronica doesn't tolerate bullshit.
No, Veronica might have actually liked this movie, but she was watching Pretty Little Liars.
Is that better?
I've never
seen that show.
So I'm actually going to say that I dodged a bullet by watching this.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Chris.
And this may change, obviously, because we tend to do that every time we announce something. But I think next episode is going to be Deliver Us From Evil.
Maybe.
Right? Supposed to be.
Or it's Bad Milo. I don't know.
Bad Milo.
I want to see Bad Milo.
Dude, it's on Netflix.
I know. That's why I want to see.
Fucking Ron Donald's butt baby.
Ron Donald?
Wasn't that his name? Ron Donald?
Is that the character's name?
Well, no. That's his name in Party Down.
Oh, okay.
Ron Donald.
Well, anywho.
And we should have a special guest. If it's Deliver Us From Evil, we're going to have a special guest from a movie that we reviewed and... did not review so favorably.
So that's any of the movies we ever watched then.
Yeah, except for Bad Milo.
And The Battery. All right, well, this is the Who Goes There podcast, episode 25, signing off.
And this is Matt.
This is Chris.
This is Jorge saying a good night to you and a Who Goes There. That one felt gross.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Never again.
Cut that one out.
Good night, everybody.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.